Well, we're coming to the end of Believe series. I don't know about you, but I just have loved these last few weeks at Passion City Church. Anybody been encouraged or God spoken in a good way? So good. You know, we're coming to the end tonight, and last week, if you weren't here, we've been talking about this general idea of the difference between living lives fueled by fear or rooted in faith. And that is where we all live every single day. I don't know about you, but this is not a Sunday thing. You walk out of here on Sunday, if you're like me, and about Monday, you're thinking, I understand that I've got a choice right now to be fueled by fear or to be rooted in faith. All through the day, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're always at these crossroads of life. And we're talking about the option of moving towards lives that are rooted in faith in who God is and what he does. And if you missed out, I can't back up and do a big review, but I do just want you to know that the guy up here talking is not some perfect guy that's got it all together, that has a separate agreement with God, that lives in a world that's different than the world that you live in. I've shared my struggle with anxiety as openly as I can with our church, because I want you to know that we're all in process. Everybody on your row right now is in process. There is no one here who has it all together, not one single person. And it's not just that we have struggles. I think sometimes in the church we want to say, you know, I did struggle with that, but I got it all fixed and taken care of. But some of our stories is, I did struggle with that, and God's giving me victory over that. Jesus is leading me through that, but I have to be honest with you to tell you that that's still a little bit in the fabric and in the mix. But Jesus is greater. And that's my story in a nutshell about anxiety is I have been there, and I can say this with full confidence, Jesus Christ is greater than anxiety. That's my message. And he's greater than whatever it is that you're struggling with in your life as well. As we come to the end and we sort of put a capstone on these few weeks together, I want to get down to the practical just for a little bit. And I want to talk about how we build lives of faith. And it's going to be basic tonight. It's not going to be like, oh my gosh, I've never thought about that before. But the key is going to be your willingness and my willingness, our willingness to step into the practical ways God builds up our confidence in who he is and how he's going to work in and through our lives in every circumstance of life. I'm sort of basing this again. I love the father of this boy that we read about in Mark chapter 9. At the end of the day, he said something that was very real, I think. He said to Jesus, I do believe. He was bold about that. He said, but help me in the ways I don't believe. And I think that's reality. That's where we live. I do believe in you, God. But right now, in this moment, the way I'm acting right now, I don't believe in you right now. I do believe you're Lord of all. But right now, I don't think you're Lord of this. And therefore, I'm freaking out right now. And I think it's that balance of just being honest to say, Jesus, there's so much about you I believe in, but there's so many ways I need that belief to translate down to the reality and the practicality of every single day and every single decision. And we're in that process together. I want to give you four ways, or give us four ways of how faith is built in our lives. And the first one, I think, is kind of the basic one of all. In fact, you don't have to say out loud. Don't say out loud. But if I were to say to you, what do you think is the number one thing you think I'm going to say as to how we build faith in our lives, what would you say? That was pretty confusing. That was a lot of questions all strung together into one long question. Well, here's my number one thing, that our faith is built up when we are rooted in the living Word of God. See there? You're like, that's it? That's number one? That's number one. That our lives are strong when our lives are rooted in the Word of God. And let me tell you what I'm talking about before we get into this. When I say in the Word of God, I'm not talking about in a book. I'm not talking about that somewhere in your house you have a Bible, or even with you right now you have a Bible, and that you believe in the Bible, you like the Bible, you revere the Bible. Maybe it's kind of like that holy shamrock that's in the house, and we know we got a Bible somewhere, you know, if we need it. I'm talking about that you understand that this isn't just a reference book of some key ideas that help us in the critical moments of life, but this is the story of God. This is the story of who he is, what he does, what he's done, what you can count on him to do now, what he's going to do in the future. This is the story of how he has interacted with you and how he wants you to interact with him. This is the story of what God is doing in life and in the universe and in history. This is God's story. And so when you open up this book, you're not just saying, well, I need to sort of get into the word because that's what we're supposed to do. No, it's I need to get into God, and this is the living word of God. He is in this word. He is on these pages. He was breathing out this truth. And so I want to get into this word so that I can get connected to the God of this word. That's what I'm talking about. And I don't know about you, but you've got to hold on to the word of God if you're going to be rooted in faith, and if you're going to have anything to hand to somebody else, you've got to be holding on to the word of God. Anybody still around Isaiah 41:10? I know I get excited about stuff, probably overexcited, but I'm so excited about Isaiah 41:10. You're like, Louis, that was three Sundays ago. We all talked about it. You put up the blue slide on the screen. We all memorized it. That was great. We've all moved on from that. I haven't moved on from that. I am still absolutely fired up about Isaiah 41:10. Anybody got Isaiah 41:10 sort of in your heart, in your mind? I'm not going to call on you, so don't be nervous. Some of you want me to call on you. I see that. That's great. You're like, no, call on me. I'm ready. How many of you got Isaiah 41:10? I mean, for real, I want to see at least, or how many of you got half of Isaiah 41:10? And you're working on the other half. I love it. We got the big blue slide, and this is what Isaiah 41:10 says. It says, do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I can't tell you how many times I've fallen into the truth of God speaking to me through that passage of Scripture in the last 4 weeks. And I can't tell you how many times that holding on to that truth, I've been able to hand that truth to somebody else. Do you know that as you're moving through life, and we'll talk about this in just a second, and people are pouring out their heart and pouring out their story, and if you just look at people the right way, they'll tell you their story. They'll tell you what they're struggling with. And at the end of the day, so much better than to say, oh, thanks for sharing that with me. Oh, well, I'll be thinking about you. Oh, well, I'll pray for you. How much better to say, oh, I'm so glad you shared that. I've been going through stuff too, and I've been holding on to God through this particular truth that he's giving me, and I want to share that with you if I can. I've been able to share Isaiah 41:10 with so many people in the last 4 weeks. I was sitting at a table in a restaurant this week, a Mexican restaurant, and having lunch with a couple of guys, one of whom was a pastor from Africa. We got to the end of the lunch, and he said, before he went back to get on a plane and fly back to Africa, he said, I really need you to pray for me. Now, he wasn't meaning like, in general, pray for me, or when let's go out in the parking lot and pray for me. He was thinking, Africa style, it'd be great if you just prayed for me right now. These people are having their lunch, and these people are over here having their lunch. It'd be great if you just pray over me like right now. And I'm like, let's do it. Let's pray. Four of us start praying, and I'm just asking God, what do you want me to pray over my friends? So God, I'm just getting things, and I'm praying, and I'm leaning in. And then toward the end, I'm thinking, I want to pray Isaiah 41:10 over him. Because if I'm going back to where he's going back to, I want to know, do not fear, for I am with you. And so I start praying Isaiah 41:10 over him. He starts receiving Isaiah 41:10. And it's like one of our little prayer triangles at Passion. He starts agreeing, and and his way of doing that is by moaning real loud. And he's going, and I'm loving it. You know, we know most of the people that work in this place, and so it's cool. These people sitting at this table weren't sure what was happening, but he's just like feeling it and leaning in, and we're praying. And it's all around, not just me, a bunch of words, but it's God's voice from God's word. And we get through praying, we say amen, he goes, and he looks up and he just looks right at me, he goes, thank you so much, that's God's passage for my life. You see how powerful that happens? And you and I have that opportunity to be rooted in truth, but to also be able to extend that truth to other people. The scripture says, Proverbs 18 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous, they run into it, and they're safe. And the name of the Lord is amplified through the words and the word of God. I did a little quick search of a few phrases just to let you know that this word is relevant to whatever you're dealing with. People say, well, the Bible, it feels old and archaic and stale, and people say at times, and I understand because there are times, you know, when for all of us, when you're in the Word of God and it's not just like, you know, the greatest, most exciting moment ever. But those times should be fewer and far between, and the times of feeling God's power in His Word should be more and more. And if you're feeling like the Word's a little stale or the Word's a little dull, it might be because you're just reading words off of a page and you're not inviting the God of the Word into the moment. You're not realizing there's a God of all creation behind and under and in the words that you're reading. And you say, God, let's read this Word together. It is a Word about You and what You're doing in my life. And it's relevant to whatever you're dealing with. We're talking about worry, fear, stress, anxiety. That's what we've been looking at these last few days. I did a search of the phrase, do not fear, in Scripture. 264 times in Scripture is the phrase, do not fear. So if you got fear or worry coming in one door, then you got to have this coming in the other door. And it's tailor-made to what you're dealing with. I typed in the phrase, fear not, 446 times in Scripture. God gives us a passage that comes around, fear not. Do not be afraid, 160 times in Scripture. And there is something there for you of God for whatever you're dealing with. I told you my dark night was anxiety. I've got other areas I've trusted God for in my life, but that big dark tunnel we talked about was called anxiety. Maybe yours isn't called anxiety. Maybe you were like, thank you for sharing and being open, and that was encouraging and helpful, but I don't struggle with anxiety. Well, whatever you struggle with, I want you to know it's in this book right here. You're struggling with addictions? There's truth in here for you. God is in here for you. Are you struggling with your marriage right now? God is in here for you and your marriage right now. Are you struggling with wisdom for your business right now? God is in this book right here and right now with wisdom for your business. Are you struggling with feeling worthless and feeling like you have no value at all? God is in these pages speaking worth and value over your life. This book is more relevant than any other thing we're ever going to get our heads into. We're watching all this other stuff so we can be hip to the culture and in the present tense, but nothing that is hip and relevant and new in our culture can hold a candle to how hip and relevant and new and eternal God's Word is. His name is I Am That I Am. He's the present tense form of the verb to be. He was and he is to come. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And it says of His Word that the flower will fade and the grass will wither, but the Word of God is going to stand forever. So when all the cool and the new things are done, the Word of God's when He go on, hey, we're still here. We're still here because God is still here. And we are the words of God. I've been living in Psalm 94. Boy, this is an outdated passage from the old psalm writers who don't have any understanding of our current world. Listen to this. It says, when I said my foot is slipping, Your love, O Lord, supported me. When anxiety was great within me, Your consolation brought joy to my soul. That's right here. And that's right now. And that's this Word of God. We looked at this passage in Philippians chapter 4. We kind of unpacked it, talking about the anxiety side of it a few weeks ago. But I want you to see the fullness of it as we read down. Verse 6 of chapter 4 begins by saying, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We unloaded that and put it back together again as a huge encouragement to us. But look at the next few sentences. He says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, there's that moment where we have to break out of the pack. Here's the pack, okay? The pack of church-going people in America, by and large, I'm not talking about you here today, but by and large, the pack of church-growing people in America are people who have great respect for this Word of God. They just don't carve out time to root themselves in the God of this Word. And they wonder why that it's more about fear and less about faith. Because when the fear comes and the attack comes and the night comes, they don't have anything to hold on to. They know there's something, but I don't have something. I haven't, you know, if you can just take the picture, I haven't taken what God is speaking and put my roots down into the truth of what God is saying to me and began to pull up out of that truth the nourishment that I need and pull the nourishment of God's words up into my trunk and out into my branches so that when the winds blow, this tree is not going down because it's rooted in what God has said to me. There's no reason why we can't join the people who live in the Word of God. I don't know about you, but maybe you're using your phone or mobile device for scripture. Anybody? There's an app called YouVersion. Anybody know about YouVersion? I started talking about YouVersion this morning, and then I said, if you know about it, raise your hand. Let's start with raising your hand. That'll save me talking about it. If you know about YouVersion, can you raise your hand? One of the, if not the most downloaded apps, period, for all phones on all platforms, and created by a local church in Oklahoma. Isn't that cool? A local church like us just said, hey, let's do this. They give it away free as a gift to the entire world. And on this app, apparently you have it, you've got at your disposal the Word of God, multiple translations, anytime, anywhere you are. And if somebody ever says, you know what, I really need to be in God's Word, but I was just too tired to read God's Word. Well, here's one of the cool things about YouVersion that I'm really loving, is that when you're too tired to read God's Word, on YouVersion, you can get somebody to read God's Word to you. Anybody getting somebody to read God's Word? They have this wonderful older English gentleman, and he will read the Bible to you. So you're like, you know, I know I need to be in the Word more. I know I need to be in Scripture more. I know I should be in the Word more. But you know, it's already nighttime and we've got the lights turned off and I don't want to disturb my husband. I'm in the break room, you know, at school and, you know, in the teacher's lounge. You know, that's a real incubator for faith, right? You know, there's so many great conversations going on there. So many people talking about what's true and what's noble and what's honorable and what's admirable and what's pure. And so what do? You just put your headphones in and say, gonna just get a little Foo Fighters break here. And then you just hit play and let the older English gentleman start reading for you the Word of God. You're on MARTA, go for it. Everybody's got their thing going. Everybody's got their vibe going and they're all kind of doing this and you're doing this too. You're like, uh-huh, he's reading to me Romans right now. I'm loving it. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Right on, good to see you, man. It's the power of God unto salvation. I'm reading it right now to all who believe. Yeah. See, it's so easy. I mean, if you don't know what I'm talking about, let me just give you a little taste, because some of you are like, I don't really know what's going on and what you're talking about. So this might not load super fast. I've got like, I'm not hip to the scene. I've got an old iPhone with a cracked up screen. But I mean, just check this dude out.
Ephesians 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known.
You're like, Louis, I think if I read that would put me to sleep. I don't know if that would keep me from going to sleep. But let me just say this. I don't want to take it too lightly. If the place you sleep is a dark place, we talked about last week getting worship in that place. But here's a way you can get the Word in that place. You can dial up the Psalms, get a little iPod dock, and you can just put your phone in there and let the older English gentleman just read out the Word of God over your space. And if you do fall asleep while he's reading, what a great way to fall asleep with the Word of God being read over your life. And the coolest thing about the older English gentleman is he'll keep reading while you're sleeping. Apparently he doesn't sleep. And it's just rooting in the things that are true. You have to at some point turn down what is not noble, turn down what is not right, turn down what is not pure, not lovely, not admirable, not excellent, and not praiseworthy. At some point, you've got to turn that down. And you've got to turn up what is true. And you've got to start rooting in what God has said. The second thing is that the way faith is built up is that faith is built up in God's economy in community. In community. And it's interesting, that same principle applies. So many people in churches right now all over America, so few of them rooting in what God says. And again, so many people in churches all over America, so few of them in community, where they've actually taken that second step, they've leaned in and linked up with other people on this journey so that in community they can have the strength of faith that comes one to the other. A few pages over in scripture to Ephesians chapter 3. Look at what it says in verse 14. It says, and for this reason, I hear that guy reading it now. Let me get back into me. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I want to read that again. I want you to say whole family with me, everybody, whether you're one of those people who likes to say things out loud with the pastor or not. I want everybody on the whole family. So I'm going to read it again. When we get to whole family, everybody says that together. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Now, the context here is going to be powerful, but the pretext is that God has put us in a family. The psalm writer said, God sets the lonely in families. There is no way to build up faith in isolation. There's no way to build up a life of faith rooted in God in isolation. God's plan has always been to set us in his family. This family in heaven and this family on earth, all with one name, that we all derive this name as his people. Verse 16, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. We all want that. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. We all want that. That means that Christ is bringing more and more faith to our hearts. And I pray that you being rooted, there's our word, and established in love, may have power, here's the key word, together, power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now, everything we want is in that paragraph. We want to be strengthened with power. We want his spirit to work in our inner being. We want to be rooted and established in love. We want to know how high and how wide and how deep and how long the love of God is. We want to know the love that surpasses knowledge, and we want to be filled up to the fullness of the measure of God. We want all those things, but those things happen when we are a whole family and we are together. They do not happen apart. The way that happens in life is because of this, that everybody doesn't get it every single day. And on the day that my faith is being tested, someone else's faith is being rewarded. And I'm hearing their story of the faithfulness of God, and their faith is pulling me up to hoping in God as I'm trusting in God and being tested by the fire. And then my faith is strengthened, and now their faith has dipped down, and now I'm lifting up them by my faith, and it's that community of faith and community of hope, all understanding how powerful God's love is as we're in a family together. The scripture says, perfect love casts out fear, and fear is at the bottom of everything we're wrestling with and everything we're struggling with, and the love is made perfect in the community of God's family, of the whole family. That's why at Passion City, we have 8 community groups right now that meet around the city, and they have a loose structure that each one of them journeys through. And at the beginning of these times, we have what we call a story time. And the facilitator of that community group will say, let's just share stories. Does anybody have a story of how God has worked in your life or someone's life that you know over the last few weeks since we've been together? And what we're doing in that moment is giving the opportunity for faith to be built. We do it as a team. We never have a staff meeting, or rarely it would be that we had a staff meeting that we don't begin with story time. And we'll say in our staff, let's hear some stories about what God is doing, because I don't know everything that goes on in Bloom. I'm not always out in the parking lot. I don't know what's going on in the loading dock with students. I don't know what happened in that eighth grade small group this week. Tell us, what is God doing? And the stories come. And as they come, our team just celebrates. And we're like, yes, this is awesome. God is at work in our midst. And we do that for the purpose of building up our faith. So every one of these community group nights, for as long as we ever have them, it's going to have a story time. We're hoping in time people will come through the door going, I got a story of God's faithfulness. And it doesn't have to be like the biggest story of all time. Yeah, I built a boat in the backyard and then it flooded and I saved the whole universe. It's amazing. Praise God. He's awesome. I just wanted to share that tonight. It doesn't have to be, hey, I walked on water this week. First time, and it was powerful. You might just have a little story of God's faithfulness. But you would be surprised how God uses your little step and story of God's faithfulness to build huge faith in the life of somebody else. Last week, we always are praying together. In fact, we shared stories this morning before we ever started the 11 o'clock gathering today. Just our team back in the back. Some great stories shared. Got us all, you know, encouraged about God and what he's doing before we ever walked out to lead today. Well, last week we prayed at 11. Shelly wasn't doing great with her back, and so I'd gone home after the 11 before the 4, just kind of came flying back in for the 4 o'clock and missed prayer. So if my talk was kind of lame last week, that's why I missed the pre-4 o'clock prayer, came right into the gathering. No one laughed at that. That must mean it really wasn't all that great. And came right in, and someone said to me, man, you would have been so encouraged in the prayer time. I'm like, what happened? Like, someone was healed, or, you know, the ceiling opened up and a beam of light came down. What happened? They said, oh, it's so cool. Jeff shared that he wanted to share at the 11 o'clock prayer time a passage of scripture, but he forgot. Went and led in Passion Kids, was not in the gathering, did not know anything about what happened, but as he came back to 4, he said, hey, I wanted to share this morning, and I couldn't get it in, but I want to share it now. It's Psalm 22, and I just want to speak this over our house today, that God inhabits the praises of his people. And everybody in the circle was like, duh. I think we just unpacked that like pretty royally this morning. And then everybody in the circle went, you weren't in this morning. You were serving in a different part of the house this morning. That's cool. And when I heard that, you're like, that's just a little thing. My faith was already flying for what God was doing last week. But when I heard that, my faith just increased so much. Because I knew God was leading us. I knew the Spirit was leading us. I knew we were all of one accord and in one place together. And those little stories of faith like that lift us all up in our hope. We're all a part of the strength of the faith of the whole. And what God is doing in you, don't ever despise that, even if you think it's a little bitty thing, because I promise you, somebody is looking for some hope in God, and your little bitty thing is going to be a giant encouragement in their walk with Jesus. And in this community thing, the flip side of it is, some of you need to minimize some of the voices of some of your fear friends, and you need to maximize the voice of some of your faith friends. You know, Job went through the fire, and he went through the valley. He lost it all, and his journey is depicted in this book of Job in the Old Testament, and there are 4 of his friends in this story, and 3 of his friends came to give him advice, and all of their advice was well-intended, I'm sure, but it was the wrong advice, until Elihu, the 4th friend, came along, and he gave Job God-sized, faith-building, reforming advice, and he helped reshape the conversation for Job. And I don't know about you, but I know that there are a lot of people in your life, and when they hear about what you're going through, all they know how to do is make it worse. And so whatever they're saying to you is like, oh my gosh, that's terrible. What are you going to do? Oh my gosh, I can't believe that. I've never heard of anything like that before. Are you kidding me? Your boss really did that? Well, man, wait, this is awful. That's so unfair. That's terrible. And maybe all that's true, and you want a little bit of that, you know? You need a little bit of, he's a jerk, and he's a jerk, and she's a jerk, and that's terrible. You need just a small measure of that. But if that's the end of the conversation, well, man, I don't know what you're going to do, but I'll sure be thinking about you. I'll sure be backing you up. Man, wow, I hope that works out. And you leave and you're like, wow. You don't need the 3 bad friends of Job. You need somebody in your life who has faith in God. And I'm not talking about people who don't deal in reality, and you walk in and you've got some complex situation. They say, let's don't even worry about that. Let's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He can work through those who praise him. Praise the Lord. A little more imperial is just bringing that back. You know, no, you don't need people who just sort of deny reality. You need people who go, man, this is a big deal. But I want to tell you, as big as this is and as complex as it is, God is going to bring you through. God is in charge of your life. God is in charge of this deal. God is in charge of this decision. God is going to see you through. And you walk away and you're like, man, I like being around that person because when I walk away from them, my faith has been bolstered in God's work in my life. You know who I'm talking about? You got that person in your mind right now? Well, you can be that person and you need to find that person. And the people who just keep pouring aggravation, you need to dial that back. You don't need to discontinue friendship and relationship with them. Some of them, you're married to them. That'd be impossible to do. But you need to dial that back, and you need to dial up faith, and you need people in your world, community in your world that will speak faith and hope over your life, and you need to become that. We are a walking Wikipedia of the faithfulness of God. And the world doesn't know what happened to Enoch. The world doesn't know what happened to Noah. The world doesn't know what happened to Moses. The world doesn't know what happened to David. The world doesn't know what happened to Isaac. The world doesn't know what happened to Abraham. We are a walking Wikipedia to the world. And it is in community that our faith is strengthened, and out of that community that we're able to become the strengtheners of faith in the people around us. You know, you walk into your business meeting, your staff meeting at your office, your board meeting. You walk into that little community meeting that you're having, or your kids are going out the door. Don't let it all be about, I hope this doesn't happen. I hope that doesn't happen. Oh my goodness, make sure you watch out for this and look out for that and make sure you do that and think about that. Hey, be responsible. Give parameters. Of course you want to give leadership and guardrails. But on the last top of that, you want to say before they're walking out the door, and don't you forget, the God of angel armies is by your side. Don't you forget God has got his eye on you. Don't you forget that God is in charge of our family and he's in charge of you as well. Don't you forget that God has got everything under control. And so people are walking out of our leadership not thinking, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that doesn't happen. I hope this doesn't happen. Oh, I hope that doesn't happen. I hope that doesn't happen. I gotta hate that. They're walking out going, you know what? I want to be as smart as I can. But God is in charge. He's in charge of who I am. Man, my faith's being built up, and I'm just preaching right now. I'm building my own faith up. I feel more encouraged about God's purposes in my life just from talking about the faithfulness of God. The third way our faith is built up is by going through the fire. Amen? Wow, that was good. Awesome. I like that. A faith is never built on calm, sunny days. Well, that's too strong. Faith is built on all days. But faith is not primarily built on calm, sunny days. Faith is built in the fire. That's what James says. We're going to jump back into the Word series next week. I'm so excited. Our team's excited about it. We're going to be in the book of James, which is going to be awesome. So you'll hear this coming again next week in some way, shape, or form. But look at the first few lines of the book of James. It's pretty amazing. It says in verse 2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Because you know, okay, that's believing right there. You know, you are confident in this, that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Do we want trials? Sort of yes. Because most people don't go to the Caribbean, sit out on a beautiful sandy beach with a blue sky, 68 degree day, getting text, you know, their phones blowing up with text messages from their stockbroker saying, man, your portfolio is going through the roof today, unbelievable. Tripled, doubled, new text, quadrupled, another one, you know, more than that. Unbelievable. Your net worth has gone up. You're a millionaire. Congratulations. Awesome. You're like, hey, awesome, honey. We're millionaires. Oh, that's great. Oh, isn't this day wonderful? And the birds are flying by. And her phone's blowing up. Your kids just made straight A's. Hey, I'm calling from the school. Your kids are amazing. Your kids can take next year off. They're so incredible. It's awesome. They're phenomenal. Your kid just scored the highest thing we've ever seen scored before in the history of scores. We made a plaque of your kid and put it up in the school. It's pretty phenomenal. We're going to put a statue of them in the community. It's awesome. And you're like, oh, that's cool. Our kid's getting a statue. It's awesome. Cool. We're millionaires. Isn't that cool? Yeah. And then you go to dinner, you know, and you're thinking, you know, my faith has just really been built up today. No, you're going to dinner going, what was that? The days that you talk about your faith being made sure are the days when you went through the darkness and everything got rattled. And in those days, you learned that when everything else falls away, Jesus is enough to keep you and to hold you through the storm. And coming out of the backside of that, coming out of the back of that, your faith is made stronger. That perseverance has its work in you, that it produces an endurance in you, and you become stronger and stronger because of that. I some of the trials our family's gone through become public record here because I tell our story, but I honestly believe that faith for me has been born in the incubator of death, in the bedside, by the graveside, in the dark night, in the hard time, because in the hard times you discover it's really real. He really is God. This faith really is true. When there isn't anything else to depend on, you can depend on Jesus. And at the end of the day, what a powerful story. I mean, these guys come back, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't go to the Caribbean and become a millionaire and have a statue made of your kid. That's great. That's a vacation you'll always want to remember. But you're not going to come home and tell your neighbors when their lives are falling apart, well, you can count on God. One time we were down in the Caribbean, and we became millionaires while we were sitting out there. It was unbelievable. Trust in Jesus. No, you're going to tell them, hey, I've been up against it. I've been in that place. We've been against disease. We've been against hardship. We've been against divorce. We've been against foreclosure. We've been there before. And I'm telling you, it was not easy. We were battered. We were bruised. We were hit. We were knocked over. But we survived, and we came through the fire. Jesus brought us through the fire, and we are still standing at the end of the day. We're still standing at the end of the day. And the testimony isn't because we are some great standers, I'll tell you what. No, it's because we are standing on a cornerstone, and He is sure. When I was in college, I read a book called Don't Waste Your Sorrows. And the whole premise is so true for us. You're going to go through trials. You are going through the fire. We're all going through the night. Don't waste it, but use it. When it comes, you don't have to say, oh, I'm so glad these trials are coming. They're going to make us stronger, honey. This is awesome. Come on, trials. We like trials. No, you say, you know what? If I could get rid of this trial, I'll get rid of it. If I can solve it, I'll solve it. I'm going to pray God take it away. Maybe God will take it away. But here's one thing I'm not going to do. I'm not going to miss it. And I'm going to say to this trial, you know what? You are going to show our family again. You're going to show me again how great God is. That's what you're going to do. Because at the end of this trial, I'm still going to be standing because I'm standing on Jesus. So I don't love the trial, but the trial is going to be used by God to make my faith stronger. And at the end of the day, my roots are going to be deeper in who God is because of this fire. I'm not going to curse the trial. I'm going to let God use the trial to build faith in me for the days ahead. You say, well, that's crazy, Louis, to step out in blind faith like that. Trials are coming everywhere in your life. I'm just trusting God. It's not blind faith. It's faith that is rooted in the fact that God has come through for every generation. And you can count on Him coming through for you. Because His love casts out fear. And He loves you with everything He has and everything that He is. The fourth and last of these is just this. That our faith is built. It is in the Word of God. It is in the community of faith. It is in going through the fire, but it begins with a relationship with Jesus. Faith is built and rooted when we begin by putting our faith in who Jesus is. And so the beginning point of all this, I guess, is salvation for us. That's where faith is made strong. It's when you put your trust in who Jesus says that he is. The Gospel of John, first chapter, it says, to as many as received Jesus, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become the children of God. That's where life with God begins. That's where the journey of faith begins. It begins not when you just say, you know what, I've heard of Jesus, I like Jesus, I think he's a nice guy, I think he did some good things, he might have been a good religious leader, he might have touched some people's lives, he may have spoken some good truth. That's not who Jesus said he was. Jesus said that he was the Son of God come down out of heaven, the gift of God, the perfect one of God to come onto planet Earth and to take the sin and the shame and the wrong of all of our lives on his so that he could give his life in our place, to take the wrath of God, to take the blows of God, to take the death that we all deserve because of our foolish choices on his own life, to be buried in the depths of the earth and to be raised up from the dead by the power of God so that Jesus Christ could conquer death and hell and the grave and every curse and that he could give us the gift of everlasting life. It's believing in Jesus, in that Jesus that brings salvation, forgiveness from God, cleansing from all of our wrongs, a new heart and a new life in the arms of God, the one who loves us and has given everything he has for us. The Word of God makes sense when you know Jesus. Community begins when you give your life to Jesus, and then you join the family of faith. And the way that you walk through the fire is when you walk through the fire knowing that Christ is alive in you, and you are alive in him, and he's gonna walk with you and carry you through it all.